Good morning and praise the Lord. We are commencing our new Bible study series for 7 weeks. Usually we don't get Bible studies for 7 weeks of consecutive studies. But as you know, I'm a firm believer of consecutive studies and a systematic methodology for studying the Word of God. I make a distinction between preaching and teaching, and that is my conviction. So this is what we are going to do now, and for the next 6 weeks will be a study. The difference between proclamation, preaching, and teaching is also seen in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the Gospels we read, he was proclaiming the gospel, keruso, kerygma, and teaching, didaskalia, that is a systematic exposition of things which we believe. And it is for information, it is for knowledge, and also it is for application. Preaching is more for motivation, challenge, and exhortation. So our word ministry is probably more devoted to the proclamation of the word, and this teaching hour is more devoted to the systematic teaching of God's word. But sometimes teaching and preaching overlaps also. Now the topic is biblical spirituality. I don't know whether any one of you have listened to a Bible study on biblical spirituality. I have never in my life listened to anybody teaching a Bible study series on biblical spirituality. But the topic of godliness, spirituality, piety, we usually hear that in the proclamation of the word and here and there in the teaching of the word also. But as a topic itself, sometimes we think that there is no need for such a study, because all of us know what is godliness, what is discipleship, what is commitment, and what is the meaning of Christian piety, spirituality. Many a times, the word or the concept of biblical spirituality is misunderstood, and it is wrongly understood and wrongly interpreted. And in the contemporary world today, even in the postmodern age in which we are living, in spite of all atheism and agnosticism, there is a great quest for true spirituality. And spirituality is making a real comeback in the world today, in different forms and in different shapes. So in the midst of the comeback of contemporary spirituality, we must clearly know from the scripture what is biblical spirituality. And the first verse we will look to our study will be, even though it is topical, it will be with expositional insight and with the hermeneutical integrity of the text or the passages in the Bible. We want the Bible to speak about spirituality. The reason is, all of us have some understanding or some concept of spirituality. Let me be very frank and very open. I was born and brought up in Kerala Brethren Assemblies. So in the Brethren Assemblies in Kerala, there is a good noble tradition that people don't wear jewelry. There is nothing wrong. I don't wear because I was brought up in that tradition. I still hold that as a noble tradition. But it is very dangerous when people understand and interpret it as a part of biblical spirituality. When people do that, that is equal to heresy, because there is nothing in the Bible to support that. It is a matter of spirituality. In some assemblies I have seen, when I was growing up, some of the older uncles and appurtenants, you know, during the breaking of bread time, they will sit on the floor, showing their reverence for the emblems and the celebration of the Lord's Supper. That's a noble thing. There is nothing wrong. Most assemblies in Korea, they don't use shoes or sandals inside the assembly hall. And in some places in India also, we still do that. All those are probably noble practices that go with the culture. There is nothing wrong. Some of us have conviction that maybe a white shirt may be good when we preach. Very good. There is nothing wrong. But these have nothing to do with biblical spirituality. So we have to make a distinction between precedence, personal convictions, noble things taught to us in the assemblies and also at home, which most of us hold in high esteem. There is nothing wrong. And we find such noble practices not only in the Asian countries, but in the Western countries also, that are promoted, that are encouraged. But the danger is, even many Bible teachers and evangelists and elders and believers in general have misunderstood these things to be aspects of biblical spirituality. That is the distinction we must make. Noble practices which we follow have nothing to do with biblical spirituality. So that is why there is a big confusion. People misunderstand many of the good things which we do, many of the noble things which we do, they equate it with biblical spirituality. And that is dangerous, because biblical spirituality should be from the Bible. It should come from what the Bible teaches about spirituality. Now, in the Old Testament, the word spirituality or spiritual doesn't occur in the same sense as it occurs in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, there was a broad umbrella term for spirituality: fear of God. So, the book of Proverbs and also in the Psalms and in Ecclesiastes, in the book of Job, in the poetical literature, we find this theme highlighted. So when the Old Testament saints, when they want to talk about piety or godliness, spirituality, discipleship or commitment, they had only one term. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of God. So in the New Testament, we have more terms, you know, like in the Malayalam language, we say bhakti. So godliness, piety, reverence, spiritual, spirituality. He is a spiritual person. He is a very deeply spiritual, spiritually committed person. We use that in the light of the New Testament usage. But in the Old Testament, they had only one word, an umbrella term, a broader term, the fear of God. Now, we will look into one verse by way of introduction, that is Psalm 119 and verse 38. 119 verse 38. It will be good to turn to that verse in your Bible. We read, "Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you." I'm reading from New American Standard. And if you compare translations, for example, in ESV, "Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared." See, the fear of God concept. New American Standard uses the word reverence. So the connection here is between the word of God and reverence. That is the most important thing we must observe here. establish your word to your servant, or enlighten your servant in your promises, in your revelation, in your word, so that he may fear you. So the reverence for God and the fear of God, and in New Testament terminology, the spirituality is brought into our life through the word of God, by the Spirit of God, through the word of God. So Christian spirituality, biblical spirituality, genuine true spirituality is a product of our obedience to the word of God. It has nothing to do with our traditions or man-made traditions or noble practices. So we must keep that distinction. Establish your word unto your servant, that which produces reverence. So the word of God and my commitment and my obedience to the word of God, or the promises of God, or the revelation of God, and when I embrace and obey that and live in accordance with the word and the truth of God's word, that is the way, that is the road to spirituality. So noble practices, precedents, good traditions, we all have the freedom to maintain that and honor that. But that is not a part of biblical spirituality. Every religion and every faith upon the face of the earth have their own spirituality. And we also in the assembly sometimes, we also make our contribution to it. You know, we don't have to do that, because spirituality is a product of our obedience to the word of God. And what is spirituality is revealed in the word of God. That is a very important thing we must bear in mind. Look at the world religions, for example, Judaism. And their understanding of spirituality is based upon their commitment to the law of Moses. And the Pharisees, and in the Pharisaic religion and in rabbinic tradition, they were not very happy with just the Ten Commandments and the five books of Moses. They added their own commandments to it, so that if you are a spiritually minded Jew, you should not simply obey the law, but you also have to fall in line with everything the rabbis and the Pharisees prescribe. That is what the Lord Jesus always said, the traditions of the Pharisees. They equated that with the fear of God, piety, being pious, and spiritual. So, in the realistically speaking, the basis of their piety would have been just the Ten Commandments or the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments and the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. But down through the centuries, they also started adding to it. Look at Islam, the five pillars of Islam. Look at Buddhism, the eightfold path of Buddhism. In Hinduism, it is more fluid, but at the same time, there is, you know, divergent ideas of spirituality. Among from the millions of gods and goddesses, a devotee selects his god or goddess, and he does puja and worship and everything to please that deity, and in turn receives the favor of that deity, and that process is called spirituality. So look at Christian denominations and Roman Catholicism especially. All the sacraments, what we call ordinance, only two, but the Roman Catholics have more. And then the worship of Virgin Mary, observing certain specific special days in the church calendar, fasting and all those things are interpreted as marked as spiritual and as Christian spirituality. So there is a temptation for man always, for pagans and for Christians, for Protestants and also Roman Catholics, to develop, to contribute something as something from our side to make it more spiritual. And the Bible does not support that. Our spirituality comes from the revelation of God's word. What is spiritual? What is true piety? The word of God tells and teaches us that. So I'm emphasizing it because people confuse traditions and biblical spirituality and the teaching of God's word, all these things mixed up. So in that maze and confusion, sometimes the true idea of biblical spirituality is lost. Now, the next important thing, so this verse tells about the word of God is the focus of spirituality. We don't have to turn there, but all of us know 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. How the man of God may be perfect and complete? As a man of God, as a woman of God, how can we be complete and perfect and spiritual and committed and pious in the sight of God? It is through the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for the purpose clause in the Greek text, for the purpose of teaching our doctrine. From where do we get our doctrine? From the word of God. And only from the word of God. And it corrects us, it convicts us, and it trains us in righteousness to be mature and to be perfect and to fulfill God's plan and for and his purpose in our life. So again, Psalm 119:38, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 all remind us the same thing. It is the biblical piety is revelation oriented. It is from the revelation of God. It is through the promises of God. It is through the word of God. And it is a word-oriented spirituality. So, whatever we call as spiritual in our life should come from what is revealed in the word of God. And when we walk in the light of God's word, that is how we become spiritual. Now, we will go to types of spirituality. There are different types of spirituality in the world. If you Google or if you want to study more about it, you know, there are a number of different spiritualities. Now, religious spirituality, that is the traditional religious spiritualities, and there is new contemporary spirituality that is developed in the postmodern age as a result of the New Age movement and due to many other changes that are happening today in the world. Apart from the traditional spirituality of the religions and the spiritual groups, so many different ideas of spirituality in the contemporary culture. But before that, we will read that verse, which is a very important verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Now, Raymond in his message mentioned about the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, talks about perilous times and perilous men in the last days. Now, one of the characteristics of the last days, in the first five verses, 19 characteristics are given in relation to the last days. And the last one, verse 5, having a form of spirituality or godliness, but denying its power. That means even in the last days, there will be so much emphasis on spirituality, on spiritual things. But those spiritual things have nothing to do with the gospel or the Lord Jesus Christ or the word of God. It is man-made spirituality. And even in this spirituality, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. That means it has no transformational power. It has that godliness, that spirituality has nothing to do with the transformation of life, of spiritual maturity or godliness of the person. It is just an ostentatious parade of religiosity and traditionalism. That is what we find even in Christian churches, even in evangelicalism today, and also in all religions. You know, that's a very important verse, that having a form of godliness but denying its power. There is no power in that godliness. No power to save, no power to deliver, no power to transform, no power to give you victory over sin, no power towards holiness, no power toward God's grace, nothing. It is, you know, like the wax fruit. It's very deceptive. No nutritional value. It looks very beautiful and very attractive, the wax fruit. But what is the problem? It has no nutritional value. It is not real. So, the form of godliness which we may find in the world, in religions and in various groups today, the word of God tells, even in the last days, you will find these things in abundance. People running after spirituality, trying to be spiritual, pretending to be spiritual. Maybe many of them sincerely trying to be spiritual, but they lack the power thereof. Now, we also can be easily tempted to some of these things. We may sometimes think that, oh, that is wonderful. That is a form of spirituality. And I want to be like that. But what is the basis of that in the Word of God? Is it just a form of spirituality and denying its power? Look at what Paul tells Timothy, and from such people, turn away. Turn away, a very strong verb in the Greek text, in the imperative mood and in the present tense. That means, Timothy, you should not be attracted towards that, and you should have nothing to do with it. Don't attend their seminars. Don't make any contribution to them. Don't think that I can go and attend a session of their seminar. No, you don't have. Turn away. Ecclesiastical separation. That is the force of the verb. Turn away. Be separated. You don't have anything to do with it. Because that is false religions, false spirituality. It may be attractive, it may be, you know, very appealing to you. We may think that in the midst of crisis and problems, we may find some solution in that kind of spirituality and manipulation. No. Turn away. Very strong verb in the imperative mode. Another important observation about that phrase, verb, in the English language, in the word, we have active voice and passive voice. But in the Greek text, there is another. In the Greek language, there is another voice called middle voice that we don't have that in the English language. The middle voice is that the subject is both the cause and the action of the verb. A good illustration will be, I moved myself. That is the middle voice. You know, I moved myself. So this verse is in the middle voice. That means, Timothy, make yourself turn away. That is the middle voice. Make yourself turn away. Don't wait for somebody to come and push you out from there. You know, you yourself turn away. You yourself know that this is not true spirituality. This is not biblical spirituality. This is not from the word of God. This is not based upon the gospel. So the imperative command to Timothy is that even Timothy may have an attraction and appeal to some of the so-called evangelical manifestation of spirituality. Timothy, turn away. Now, in the middle voice, look at verse chapter 3, verse 1. But know this or realize this. That also is in the imperative mood. It is a command, but in the present tense. Keep on knowing. That is not that one time you know about it, that you keep on as you live, as you come across various groups and people, as you mingle with people in your workplace, in your college, in your school, in your neighborhood, as you evangelize, as you interact with people, keep on knowing this. In the same way, keep on turning away from this kind of spirituality. One more verse, that is in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Very important verse. This verse tells a summary of Christian spirituality. What is Christian spirituality? Godliness. Verse 16, 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That is, the truth of godliness is now disclosed in the Word of God. A New Testament mystery is a truth that was previously hidden, but now disclosed through apostolic word and prophetic revelation. So it is a revealed secret. So the revealed secret about godliness, piety, God has revealed. What is the secret of godliness? God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. The incarnation, substitutionary death, resurrection, ascension, and glory, and exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as proclaimed in the gospel, is the only foundation of godliness, which is acceptable to God. All other godliness, however committed people are, however devoted they are, however sincere they are, that has nothing to do with godliness in the sight of God. This is an exclusive gospel claim. So we have friends and we maybe, you know, family members who are very devoted in their religion and practices. And it is sometimes very hard for us to say or to think that how sincere they are. Three times praying, five times going to church and doing all these things. But how godly? No, the word of God tells they are mistaken. That has nothing to do with godliness. Mystery of godliness is only in the person and work of Christ and the blessing it produces in our life. An exclusive claim to godliness in the gospel. We will continue our study next week. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the clarity of the word of God, the authority of the word of God, and the power of God's word. We thank you that thy spirit is illuminating thy word in front of our eyes so that we may appreciate it, we may obey it, we may understand it, and we may apply it. Pray that as we study this truth, we may become more spiritual, more committed, and more devoted disciples of our precious Savior. Thank you for our time together. Send us now with your blessing and benediction. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.